Greetings! It is the Happy Jammer, and welcome to the very first episode of the Frozen Podcast. Joining us in this very first episode, we got our two co-hosts with us. We got Firebird.
Say hello. That's me. How's it going?
Great. And then we have White Star.
Hello.
And then we have two very special guests. Well, just guests. We got Reswab Jr.
Hey!
And we got Silra, who is muted right now.
Hello!
Okay, there you go. Alright, so on this very first episode, we are going to just get right into introductions. Who we are, why do we like Frozen? Let's just go in Discord order. I guess me first, because I'm the first one. Well, I'm called the Happy Jammer on the Frozen subreddit. I was introduced to Frozen because it was on television, one of my cousin's houses or something. I was in the I hate Frozen train at the time, because it's like, all my friends were like, oh, it's like, it's girly or whatever. And because I was an edgy teenager, I thought, oh, okay, I'll just follow what they say. Then I actually watched the movie, and I really loved it. I like the music, the characters. It's just a great film. Probably the best Disney film I've seen since at least Aladdin or The Little Mermaid. So that's definitely my motivation. I came as part of the subreddit because if you guys know the game Civilization V, I made a mod for Civilization V in collaboration with one of the R Frozen moderators, Greenlamp. Shout out to you, Greenlamp, if you are listening. Probably not. But we did a collaboration on that mod, and because I found that he moderated the subreddit, I decided to check it out, and basically the rest is history. All right, so Firebird, you're up.
Okay, so I actually was not a Frozen fan until somewhat recently. I think this May was when my journey through Frozen fandom started. So back in the day when it came out, 2013, a lot younger, I was the same way. I was like, wow, this is probably a pretty girly movie. It's a princess movie. Not for me at all. Then recently, senior in high school, this May, we took a trip to Disney World. On the way, I bought Frozen and we watched it, me and a few of my friends. I was like, hey, this is actually pretty good. How about that? So beyond that, it was like we went to Epcot, we went and found Anna and Elsa, took pictures with them. That was super fun. Then I found the subreddit because I'm a Redditor and I was on there. I've made a few things. I did the gravity in Frozen. I took the time because I was in AP Physics. I took the time and I found gravity in different scenes and how it changes throughout the film. I found that super fun to do, and I am super excited for Frozen 2. That's my stories.
All right. Again, in Discord order, we'll go to Reswab Jr., our guest.
All right. So we have to go back to the beginning. In 1901, Walter Elias Disney was born.
Okay.
We're not going that far back. So I actually remember I was an annual pass holder going back to 2013, and I remember seeing Elsa walk through Fantasyland on a rainy day, and I had not seen the movie yet, didn't really know anything about it, and I remember thinking, oh my God, is that stupid, like, Disney princess film that nobody's going to care about? And of course, nobody's like, oh, hey, it's some new Disney princess. Okay, whatever. Then I jump forward to 2014. My brother and his family were watching it, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll watch this movie. It's already been out for a while. And then I fell in love with it. I was like, oh my gosh, how did I not watch this movie before now? This is insane. This is awesome. And then I found this R Frozen subreddit in March 2014, and I kind of been hanging around there ever since. Met Happy Jammer and all these other beautiful folks.
Yes,
that
yes.
We're now talking to in this podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, I joined the party pretty late, March 2015. That was when Frozen Fever came out. But better late than never, you know. All right. Silra, you're up.
Yeah. Quite similar to you all, I would say. I wasn't really fan at all at first and was really late. More or less like you, Jammer. I would say 2015. More or less where... I think it's when Fever came out and eventually got hooked. I would say I was also late to the subreddit, but I mean, I think it was really, really active when Frozen came out, not a few years later. And now I'm quite getting hooked even on other Disney films.
Oh yeah. It definitely rekindled my spirits for Disney as well.
Yeah, same. That's what I wanted to say, yeah.
All right. And finally, our second co-host, White Star. What you got?
I got my ride on Frozen kind of early, like mid-2014, because and even though I had access to the internet, I didn't know basically anything. It was that time in my life where I was about kind of not really into anything Disney because I kind of grew out of it. But it all got started for me, like, whenever I was sitting in English class in high school and said something about if we did a good job on an exam or something, that she let us watch Let It Go, and everybody was excited about it, but I had no idea what it was. I was just like, what is this? I want to know what this is. And so 2 months passed by, and I didn't think to look for it on the internet because I wanted to keep it a surprise, and it completely blew away from my mind, and whenever the time did come, so we watched the music video for Let It Go, and it just completely captivated me. Like, I don't know, it was just so amazing, and so music was amazing, and I decided I need to know what this is. So that night I went home and I watched Frozen on secretwatchmovies.com, sort of,
and like a bootleg.
And I completely fell in love with the movie, and I was so captivated by it, and it was just so wonderful, and I didn't realize that this is what Disney feels like, that I must have felt like when I was a kid, and it was amazing, and I was still a kid. All of a sudden I felt like a new love for Disney, and it was amazing. So like the next day I went out and I bought the DVD. A week later I bought the soundtrack and I was listening to it constantly, and that's how I got started in Frozen, and ever since I've just been on and off about it, excited about. I remember I never got to see it in theaters, but I did remember going to go see Cinderella whenever Frozen Fever came out, and it was a little short before, and more recently Olaf's Frozen Adventure whenever Coco came out.
Oh right, Olaf's Frozen Adventure. Alright, so let's get right into the second thing we want to do, is the trailer analysis. But before we do just that, I just want to know, what are your quick thoughts? Like, what were you doing when the Frozen teaser trailer dropped back in February? I'm pretty sure all of you guys have watched it by now, but for me, what I was doing was that, you know, I woke up like very late. I was in my dorm room because my classes were like in the evening, so I'm like, okay, I won't even bother waking up early. So I woke up at 12, and then the subreddit Discord was like going crazy. There's all these pings, and like, what's going on? And then I checked that, oh, the teaser trailer, I'm like, oh. So I watched it in there. I screamed. Like, I'm not even joking. Yes, I was too excited.
So I was actually, I saw it on my Google News, and which is interesting because this was before I was actually into Frozen. Like I said, I was really, really recent this May, but I saw it and watched it. I mean, at that time I was kind of indifferent. I didn't really care because that was, like I said, before I liked Frozen. But now I go back and watch, I'm like, hey, pretty good.
All right. Anyone else saw?
I was sitting in school and community college, and I was waiting for class to start and scrolling through YouTube, and all of I see the Frozen 2 trailer drop, and by the time I'm watching it, it was amazing.
All right.
Noise.
Right. Who else hasn't said it much?
Yeah, it was. It was in the afternoon when it came out.
Ah, I see.
I kind of saw it when I got back from work. Yeah, I was quite excited and nervous the whole evening.
Yeah, I really liked how it was a dramatic shift from the first teaser trailer for the first movie, where it was just Olaf and Sven goofing around in this ice. Yeah, like it was a huge contrast. I think they were like going for, this is going to be like an epic fantasy adventure kind of movie, not just a comedy.
Yeah, I think they're trying to show, I know in one of the interviews they said this is like a little, it's more mature of a movie. It's, they know that their target audience has grown up slightly, and so I think they're trying to show that with the teaser and the trailer.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah, the target audience has grown up. If that is everything, let us go to the video. So let me switch. So we're just gonna play it and just see what's going on. So this is the teaser trailer. Elsa is like going in the water or something. So no, we're not pausing at the feet. So what were, I've seen way too much memes about that. Anyway, so the, so she's running in the water like Jesus or something. I mean, we kind of saw, I guess, more about the context of what that is in the second trailer, but I had no idea what she was doing. I don't know why she was running in the water.
So first of all, we have Elsa. We know she's human.
Obviously. That's obvious. Yes.
Very specific analysis.
Very, very specific analysis. I mean, she's wearing a new outfit, looks like.
I think it's nice that they brought back the water running thing from Frozen 1. Like, it's a nice callback because it's the same way that she runs across and the water there and freezes the fjord. It's the same way that she's running across this water, and it's the same effect that they're using.
It's nice because Sierra, she's finally evolved with her powers. Like, she kind of just uses it very willingly and confidently, like she knows what she's doing with it. So it's like it's a nice character development here with how she embraces her powers. And she's just,
yeah, this time she doesn't freeze the whole ocean.
Just like one block of a time.
She's got the control over her powers now from using
it. Oh, that is true. Yeah. She's just using it to walk on water. Efficiency.
What people saying about her walking on water was like, oh, she's trying to get across, or she's fighting the ocean because the ocean can live
her. Oh, looking for her parents. I mean, I don't think I buy that kind of explanation. Who knows? Maybe this movie is going to be about their parents. But
my original thought was that whenever I saw her trying to overcome the water, I thought she's testing herself. She must be like doing some kind of training where she's like, she's, if she ever needs to be put in a situation like this, she needs to be ready. So here she's running up to the wave and she just uses her powers, and I guess she water that overcomes her or something like that, and she falls in, but she has to get back up again and try it, climbing the mountain over and over again.
I think that's also what I thought originally.
Oh yeah,
sort of just like training, trying to use them.
I think this is a good testament to Disney making a great quote teaser trailer, because a teaser is supposed to be that it's just teasing you with little bits of information, visuals, because we don't ultimately know what's going on here at all. It's out of context,
right?
But that's really cool because it makes you, you're asking, well, I want to know more. Why is she doing this? What's gonna happen? Where does this take place in the movie? Is this at the beginning or is it near the end? We don't know.
Yeah, they're not really giving you any story with this.
Yeah.
Can we also just say how good the water looks?
Oh, yes. They took
animation's on point.
They took some notes from the Moana team.
It was the original, whenever the trailer dropped at the beginning, because it didn't look that good. Then again, I was watching it on my puny phone, so I probably couldn't notice how good water looks.
So watch it at 240p.
Yeah, ponytail, one other thing I want to address.
Yeah.
But it's to step two. Seeing her hair completely down, it's a speed bump. We'll get there one day. Maybe it'll be in the movie, maybe it won't be.
If her hair was fully down, would it just be like this really long?
It kind of looks like that.
It's definitely a lot simpler, but yeah, it's not actually letting it down yet.
Well, like I said, it's a stepping stone. We'll get there one day.
Just baby steps.
Just baby steps. Absolutely.
It was up completely in the coronation dress, and then a single braid, and now a ponytail, so we'll get there one day.
Disney animators are playing a game. How many hairstyles can we give Elsa?
How many hairstyles has she had? Or I mean, I could just think of outfits or something.
What did she have in Olaf's Frozen Adventure?
Give it a bunch. Oh, I'd love to see that.
I think she still did the braid.
And then that was also probably the same braid in Frozen Fever.
Yes.
Yeah, Frozen Fever. Did she also have the braid in Frozen Fever? It's just with the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of the shorts.
Yeah, so I'm looking at pictures right now. She has the braid in everything once she becomes Elsa. I wouldn't say Ice.
After she lets it go.
Yes. Once Let It Go happens, she's basically has the braid.
That is until
intuitive.
Until now, she has a ponytail.
Well, she used a ponytail.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that like the standard though for all people who are exercising?
I mean, that is the standard. That's true. You go to the gym, all the gals.
You go to the gym, all the girls have ponytails.
All the girl or men with long hair too. They have it in ponytails sometimes.
You're supposed to wear the ponytail. Like there are certain ways you wear a ponytail, but you're not supposed. You're supposed to wear like kind of back of the head, not the complete middle back of the head, but like a little up, because that's the whole point. You don't want the hair like flying into your face whenever you're working out or jogging.
Yeah, when Elsa's running in the water, the one thing she's super worried about is her hair.
That should probably keep it all from not flying anywhere.
Here's what I'm wondering though. I don't know, this is going into like speculation mode, but why is it only Elsa? Where's Anna? Why in this scene she's only the one there? Who knows, maybe this is just for the trailer, but
again, it's a teaser. They're not going to start giving you big plot points and stuff like that just yet. That's what the main trailer is for, which we will talk about shortly.
Yes, we will talk about
shortly. She's sitting on a lawn chair. She's like waving a flag that says Elsa, like, yeah, and a giant foam finger.
She's got scorecards. She's like, all right, that was a 4 out of 10. Try again.
All of them have scorecards. Yeah. And so then they end raw, so Kristoff has to do it for him.
Yes, this is, all of this is filmed in...
Get paint on his antlers.
All of this is filmed in that location where the princesses are in Ralph Breaks the Internet. The Frozen Sisters are filming this.
This is what they didn't want to show you when that movie came out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, did you see the ending? The ending of Wreck-It Ralph? I mean, Ralph Breaks the Internet? Oh my, I got so triggered by that. The very end, the very end. I'm pretty sure you guys saw that. Like, what was that? I was so excited, and then I got so trolled.
When they trolled.
Big time.
That's the point of Rick
Rolling. I mean, that is the point of Rick Rolling.
It's strange that they used Rick Rolling in about 2007, 2008.
I thought that was like a 2011 meme or something like that.
It's much older than that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I remember.
Who expected it? If you sat in the theater,
here's a teaser for Frozen 2, and then just all of a sudden Ralph just comes up and starts singing, "Never Gonna Give You Up," and you're like, oh my gosh.
Oh, good lord.
A full version of John C. Reilly singing that song, please.
I think we're getting a little off topic. So let's just go to the second half of the...
At least it's all Disney related.
So we're done with the Elsa in the water part. So let's go to the whatever Anna is staring at. Like, what are those crystal things?
Things we see, are we allowed to talk about? Two trailers combining? Or it's like, we know stuff from the second trailer, and we know stuff from this trailer. You have watched the trailers. We see that Elsa, probably in the heat of the song that she's singing, it's things out of thin air that just look like...
Right, and I...
And if you look real close, you can see, like, little symbols on them, and... we'll talk about later, I guess, whenever we analyze the second trailer.
Right, yeah, you can see in the teaser trailer, look, like these crystals, they all have individual different symbols. I mean, I have no idea what they are. I honestly have no idea what they are, but they look cool.
They're everywhere. And
they're everywhere. I was just looking there. And then there's all the... Okay, so I'm going to turn to Kristoff here. All these Svens, all these deer.
Kristoff.
So is that his family? Is Sven's lost family or something? Or is it just a random herd of deer? I mean, it looks really nice. Let me...
His first family, before he was raised by trolls, he was raised by reindeer.
He was raised by reindeer.
You know, I'm going to guess that scene with Sven and his friends, I'm guessing that's going to happen later in the movie.
The climatic battle, the final battle.
I think so, because it doesn't make sense plot-wise to have, like, because look at Kristoff's face, he's determined. Like, it reminds me of the scene in the first Frozen when he's riding Sven back to Arendelle, you know, in concern for Anna. And
he's
like, that has that same kind of energy, like, you know, it's going to hit the fan and he's charging into, like, action, you know, to help out or something like that. So it would seem kind of weird to have it in the beginning. Dramatic tension in the beginning, but okay, and then it goes nowhere. I don't see that happening. So yeah, I'm predicting this will be later, probably for the third act.
This could just be a cop out, another cop out from the first like action trailer.
That's true. Yeah. The very first teaser for Frozen, a lot of that stuff, you know, that's no storm, that's my sister, that never even happened.
I think there were just last minute plot changes.
Old trailers, a cop out.
Yeah. This entire trailer is going to be irrelevant when the movie comes out, because all of these scenes you just saw are not going to be in the film at all. Just watch.
So yeah, we changed the entire movie. Nothing you saw is in it.
Then why would they tease it anyway? So that's...
They should just make all of, like, teaser trailers, like the, I think it's the original Back to the Future teaser trailer, where it's like, there's no scene thing that will be in the movie. It's Marty getting out of the time machine.
So based on the location, are they still in Arendelle, or is this, like, a different place? Or is it...
It looks like it. It's like they're in the Enchanted Lands, wherever they're going.
Yeah, I think it's all away.
I'm going to say, yeah, this could easily be in Arendelle. It could be in the next neighboring kingdom. Who knows? I'm going to say maybe this is probably in Arendelle because of the fact that there's so many other reindeer and Kristoff's with them. I mean, this looks like it could be in the autumn season, because in the movie and other release content, we only get to see Arendelle basically between summer and winter. Spring. And I think spring. Yeah. For Anna's birthday. So, I mean, to me, it says, hey, let's show you more actual setting, scenery stuff, different time of year. Obviously, it's not just going to be what you've seen in the first movie and then that's it. There's obviously way more to it than that.
And obviously, the autumn leaf seems very significant, at least what the teaser trailer was implying.
We've covered all the seasons now with the second movie, because the first Frozen, we had summer. Frozen Fever, we had spring. But A Lost Frozen Adventure, we had winter, Christmas. This one, we will have autumn.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. There's no others. Cancel this year.
Frozen TV show.
There's been some pretty interesting kind of analysis that other people like Screen Rant, Elite Daily have done, talking about the personification of winter, spring, summer. Now you have fall is what it looks like to be in this movie. So I'm looking forward to it just for that, to see how more like the actual setting development takes place in here
of the Frozenverse.
Yeah, exactly. Right, like maybe Elsa is like one part of the equation, like a fall version or some
fall version,
like fall Elsa.
What would they control?
I don't know, leaves.
Elsa has control over winter. She just has control over ice and snow, and people associate that with winter. So,
well, she is called the Snow Queen in the original novel.
Yes,
the original telling by Christian Anderson.
Yeah, Hans Christian.
Mm-hmm. Hans Christian Andersen. Yeah,
Snow Queen is actually the name in French.
Well, all right. So,
okay.
Let's continue.
So, here's Anna.
Breathing.
I don't know. Is she holding? Yeah, is she holding something?
Yeah, what is she holding on?
Is that a?
Looks like she's holding a book.
Is it the troll book that the king was looking at the first movie?
Could be.
And then...
Yeah, you can't really tell.
It could be a journal, it could be the book, it could be... Who knows? It could be...
Oh, wait, no. Because I just played it, and I think it's her bag.
Yeah, that's the bag. That's
thank you, girl.
But there could be something inside the bag.
From the Twitch chat for pointing that out. And for Happy Jammer, too.
Yeah, she's holding her satchel. Yeah, thanks. So, where is she jumping on through these platforms?
Needs to make a leap of faith.
Make a leap of faith.
The leap of faith has to be metaphorical for something.
Right, exactly.
Well, and how did she even get down there is a question I have. Because
you went too far.
Well, not necessarily.
We might not.
Yeah, I did go too far. I mean, sorry.
I mean...
Second trailer.
It's fine.
Well, I'm going to talk about the second trailer just for a second.
All right,
but in that, she's got Olaf with her when she goes down in that boat. So I think this is not actually after that, because Olaf would be with her there if that was the case.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's not the same location, you're saying?
I don't think so. I mean, it could be. I have no way of knowing.
I mean, this is just a teaser trailer. The point of a teaser is to barely show anything.
I mean, this could just be a scene of dramatic tension in the plot itself. It's just her trying. I mean, you have this different act. You have the typical plot layout in most stories where you have this rising tension and stuff. This just could be a part of it. She's on her journey trying to get somewhere, and then we'll see what happens. And then if you listen and remember the music for the teaser itself, it's all about dramatic rising tension. You know, it's designed to kind of hype you up. You're like, I want to know what's going to happen next. And then, of course, well, come see it this November.
Well, yes.
And you'll find out.
I just have to say real quick, their new outfits are great.
Kind of looks like at the beginning, whenever we see Elsa strip off what she doesn't need, it kind of looks like she's wearing a leotard or something.
I always thought it was like a leotard kind of
dress suit. It's a pantsuit, but it really just kind of looks like a leotard.
Well, it's kind of a clothy unitard or something.
Leotard with a jacket and boots, which is a nice trade from the heels, but, well, I don't like heels to begin with, so I guess the boots are better.
I'm looking at Anna's hair right now. She's got her hair down with a braid going across the back.
Her fall braid, I think it's called.
Fall braid?
I don't know.
Is that a thing? A fall braid? Like, is that an actual style or?
Fall braid. Or a crown. I think it's a crown braid or something like that. I don't know what it's called.
I'm going to point out Girly Girl's comment here. Can we just appreciate how badass Anna looks in the scene? She gets her moment to show everyone she's as strong as Elsa, even without powers. Yes, I agree.
No, it's the badass braid. yes, sure. That is the official name now. It's the badass spray. Pretty sure there's a formal name for it, but we don't know right now. All right, so that's it for the Anna scene. So what's going on with Elsa's like on a ring of fire?
Kind of looks like a heart.
Yeah, I thought so at first, but it, I don't know, it doesn't really look like a heart. It just looks like an op.
It could be just a coincidence, because we are off axis and looking at it. We're not looking at it straight on, so we don't know the true shape of it.
Part I think if you were to look at it from above, it'd just sort of be a weird oval shape, is how I'm imagining.
Yeah, like an oval shape.
I'm kind of wondering, I was wondering about the colors.
Yeah.
It reminds me when Grandpappy showed the vision to her about how she shouldn't, how fear was her, it would be her enemy, and the kind of it could be nothing, it could just be some cool supernatural power somebody else has, but it kind of in a way is symbolic of how she can be afraid if she can't control what's around her, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kind of spitballing right now.
Spitballing. And there's Olaf like, oh, save me. I mean, yeah.
Trying not to be burned.
Okay, so we skipped that. So who's this? Who's this?
This is girlfriend.
Who's?
Who's girlfriend?
Already been confirmed. Thank you, Twitter. Thank you very much for going into this. Elsa's girlfriend. Elsa will be marrying a 5-year-old girl.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. No. Okay. I mean, this is, 1840 whatever? 1848?
Something.
1849. Oh, it doesn't really matter. So...
Well, right here, this is where some people point out the personification of fall. You have a lot of the fall leaves and stuff like that, but then look what's happening under that, if you play the video.
Right, it does that, and there's that guy.
There we go. But we don't know if it's one of them doing that, or if he's doing it, or somebody else is off camera is controlling that, we don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that girl is controlling it, because she's, like, looking back... surprised, almost.
Yeah, she's observing and surprised.
This is a season where, you think about it, technically everything is dying. all the green that was there during the spring and summer, it's all like decaying and it's dying. So if you live in an autumn oracle thing, it's like if you're living in some place that's autumn all the time, are you living at just a place that's like constantly dying?
No. I'm just going to guess that this is subject to the natural world where in the spring, this would not look like this at all. It's probably a bunch of green and stuff. It's just the theme of the movie is probably going to be fall and autumn. So that's just what the setting looks like for now.
During that time.
So I'm sure you guys are all aware of the actors that they, so the new actors and actresses is what? Evan Rachel Wood and Stephen K. Brown? Yeah. Sterling K. Brown, yeah. Yeah.
Louis C.K.
No. So I would imagine this girl is voiced by Evan? I have no idea.
Possibly.
We'll find out.
Possible.
Does she show up in the second trailer? I don't remember.
I think maybe so.
We'll find out.
I don't believe she actually does. I don't.
All right, we'll see. And all right, I guess the final scene here.
Looking off into the distance,
and pretty much everyone's wallpaper.
Vast landscape.
Pretty much everyone's wallpaper.
Uncharted territory.
Oh, Wood is confirmed as Idunna on IMDb. Really?
Well, the thing is, IMDb has been wrong quite a few times before because it's just people editing it. It's not actually like official.
Right. Well, because wasn't Idunna in the first film? Wasn't that Jennifer Lee?
Yeah, and she only had one line.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I don't know if this is Arendelle or not because this looks different from it. There's like a river. It's like all those mountains. I don't know. It just seems like a different location. Maybe it's another location based in Norway.
It's north of the Arctic.
North of the Arctic. Yes, we are in Svalbard. This is where it's. No. This is not Svalbard. And I think that concludes the teaser trailer with the leaf.
Which time do we have? We all have an hour time, right?
I mean, we could go max.
Want to go a little bit longer?
Yeah, we could go a little longer. And then finally, November, and then, of course... Oh, there you go. There it is.
Trailers came out exactly 4 months apart from each other. Oh, and then there's
this. Yeah, the sword. Let's talk about it for, like, a minute.
I believe that Anna's intent is to kill something.
He's killing the cameraman. She's killing the cameraman.
She's killing the cameraman.
Yeah, that's why it went black.
Well, I do wonder about this scene. Is it just some weird apparition or something? We don't know. It could be... obviously, it's something unexpected. Otherwise, why would Anna leap into action with this, grab the sword from Kristoff and try to attack? So
Kristoff has a sword now. Has he been doing?
He's been flexing. He's been going to the gym.
He's been Kristoffing.
Yeah, he's been flexing. He's been working out, lifting up some hay.
He's been lifting ice, man.
Oh, yeah, lifting... Oh, yeah, ice. He's the official ice harvester and deliverer. So let's go to the second trailer. So this is the second trailer. So basically the official one that was released last 2 months ago. So this is the same scene as before. I think we can skip this part.
Well,
we can go in the water.
Just let it play. No, yeah. Let it play and then we'll pause at the
Yes, we'll pause at the new parts.
That way we're not spending time trying to skip around.
All right, there. All right, I pause on the new part. There you go.
Okay. So yeah, this scene to me is very interesting because that...
A knock.
There's multiple different names for it. The neck, the knee core, the Nix, the Nixie knockin. It is a Norwegian water spirit.
Yeah.
So we're definitely getting into more Norwegian mythology, which I really love that they're going.
Yeah, I'm so excited. The moment I saw the horse, I knew. I'm like, because with Frozen, I sort of like went into like Norse mythology a little bit. Create my head cannons or stuff like that. And I always found the knot to be like really interesting, as well as the Huldra.
It's a really nice piece of Scandinavian folklore that it's nice. It's awesome to see Disney is still doing their research. And it's like, hey, what other cool like pieces of mythology can we incorporate into this story to give it more depth, more of a lived in feel to make it, make it believable, which is pretty cool.
And I it's interesting that the water spirit's like all water. It's like because I would expect it to be like this actual physical entity, but it's like a water bubble.
You're in the water, so wouldn't you just be seeing nothing?
No, but it looks like a water, like an air bubble or something like that.
Well, I mean, we don't know. It could actually take a physical form later in the movie or before this scene in the movie because we don't know where this actually takes place.
Imagine if Elsa wants to like see it on land, that she just, if it's water, she just like puts ice over it and it's like, hey, you're frozen, you could walk on solid objects now, because it's not like
Elsa looks terrified. That horse looks terrified. I mean, I would imagine spiritual horse in the water would be terrified.
Well, in the original mythology, these spirit creatures are actually quite more known to be malevolent. Now, of course, Disney's not going to go that route, I imagine. They're basically kind of like a different version of like a siren who lures, you know, people into the water, like especially children, men, women and stuff like that. But Disney, you know, will kind of put a different spin on it.
Right, exactly. I think I did read somewhere about certain tales, like the Nock, like they turn into human?
I don't know about that. The interesting part is it's a horse. It's an equine form. So horses are definitely not that malevolent. So I'm thinking Disney will definitely play off of that more. You know, we use horses in society as much more benevolent creatures who help us. And, you know, it could be a guide or a progenitor, whatever they want to write into it for this story. So, I mean, it's kind of like in a weird way, like a spirit animal for Elsa, possibly.
Spirit animal.
Comes up to Elsa and says, yeah, hey, I might have killed your parents, but I need you to help me with this thing so we get to go on an adventure.
That's tough.
It's like, Ice Queen, I need your help. Side note, I did kill your parents. We'll get to that later. Like, wait, what?
Wait, what? Yeah, as Anna would say, wait, what? Okay, so all these trolls, are they evacuating? It looks like they're evacuating. What are the trolls?
Maybe the trolls are going to war.
Oh boy. Yeah, it's time. The thousand-year prophecy, it's arrived. That deleted scene song.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if they just got summoned and Kristoff was just surprised they're all running up this. See, I think it's just kind of like a meeting.
Yeah, it's like a meeting. Oh, okay.
So it's going to be story. Storied exposition continues the plot, carries the plot forward.
And you can see there in the background stuff.
People. Oh, yeah, and there are people in the background. Yeah,
villagers in the background.
Yeah, people who we assume are from Arendelle.
And I would assume they didn't know about the trolls' existence.
Now, my question is, why are the people from Arendelle in what looks to be sort of just like the forest or just not in Arendelle?
Because obviously the forest is where things happen. It's not obvious.
Yeah, it's not really obvious.
It could have been they were there and then Grand Poppy just doesn't randomly show up for no reason in the previous plot. He usually shows up as part of the plot. So I'm curious if they were there for some other reason and then all the trolls showed up.
Twist!
I mean, they could have stopped his surprise when they woke up.
They could have evacuated the town because of the ice shards that we saw that Elsa makes.
Yeah. I just want to point out, like, Twitch chat is saying, hey, this is supposed to be a more mature movie. You never know. Arendelle may be destroyed, so they're all refugees. Oh, gosh.
Well, I don't know if anybody else has observed this, but there is no singer-songwriter credits for this movie. So the Lopezes have not been identified to write any music for this movie. If you go to IMDb, I've tried doing whatever research I could. For so under music, it's a very small department of just, you have typical music editors, production musicians, vocalists, stuff like that, but nothing on the singer's songwriter side like what we saw with Frozen. So I'm kind of wondering, I'm speculating this is not going to be a musical at all. I think it's just going to be more of a typical movie that has music score cueing, stuff like that. Christoph Beck is back to do all that.
Yes. Movie,
which I'm very excited. I love his stuff from Frozen 1. I'm glad they got him back.
Yeah, his scores are amazing.
So yeah, I'm guessing we're not going to have any actual songs like Let It Go or anything. There might be some random songs where Anna and Elsa maybe do sing for stuff, but I'm not going to know they have confirmed new songs. I haven't seen anything official on it, not official press briefings from Disney as of yet. So that's why I'm confused.
I'm going to have to disagree on that. There's no way they're bringing Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell back, all these talented singers back, and they're just not going to sing. I think they're going to probably have a couple new songs, but it's not going to be as...
I'm guessing it'll probably be what you see in Olaf's Frozen Adventures, like one or two songs, but nothing like big. I could be wrong.
There was like 5 new songs in that. That's short. 20 minutes short, there was 5 new songs.
Yeah, 5 new songs.
Yeah, I would be surprised and a little disappointed if they didn't have some larger songs like they did in the first one.
I mean, that's what shot the movie to stardom, you know, the first one. Let It Go.
Songs.
I mean, why would they not add a new song?
Okay, so Girl to Girl is right. I guess I missed this. There is, supposedly, according to some, there was at least 4 new songs for Frozen 2. But this article came back out in last November. Nothing has been verified beyond that.
Girl to Girl just linked an interview where apparently there is a confirmed 8 new songs.
Oh, who's being interviewed?
Okay. Well, it's true. She does say that 8 songs is...
Can't wait.
Okay, so I found an article that says the Lopez are on it, but they just haven't been credited. So I'm probably off base then. I'm probably wrong, and they're going to be there, and it'll be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I mean, if you guys watched the movie Coco, they made good music for that as well. So can't wait to see what they have for Frozen 2. Anyway, let's go on with the trailer. We have little Elsa, and then she's talking to her mom. The past is not what it seems. That's what the quote says right there. I mean, she's looking up at the Northern Lights, Idunna is, and, like, were they lying? Like, I don't know. Are the trolls the liars? I'm just saying stuff right now. And then, of course, there's this scene with...
Which we presume is in a song.
In a song, yeah. And, yeah, those things, mountain trolls, I'm calling them right, those are mountain trolls. Like, big trolls. Like, it's not the...
Well, remember, there's more than one type of troll. The trolls we see in Frozen are very small, benevolent little creatures. And I mean, to be honest, I'm not surprised Disney would that. You don't want to see, like, cave trolls and stuff like that from Harry Potter universe going around.
Yeah, please. You must find the truth. Yeah, I always wanted like this. It's like, I think it's like a backstory with Elsa's power origins or something like that. I know we're like speculating, but I always wanted something like that.
Her father did say when Grandpappy asked, was she born with powers or cursed? He said born with the powers. So yeah, there's got to be some kind of cool backstory to that.
You must find the truth.
How could you not go down that path and find out?
Go north across the enchanted lands. Oh, so this is great. So this scene looks amazing.
Those things flying, are they birds?
No, this. Like, they're on a...
Wait, where?
So Anna and Elsa looks like they're on the cart, and then Olaf's there, and Kristoff and Sven are taking them.
Well, if you look in the background, there's the North Mountain with Elsa's ice palace, so they're probably... They're still in Arendelle.
Yeah, but I... Yeah.
Well, it could be looking from the other side. It would be an interesting camera angle, but that could be actually northern than...
They could be going past it.
Yeah, go north across the... So the area where there's the fall stuff, I would imagine that's where all the...
I'm trying to remember, in the movie, when they look up at the North Mountain, you really couldn't see the Ice Palace. Wouldn't that be because it's on the other side, so they would be more northern than it now? I could be totally wrong.
They never give an accurate perspective, like a wide angle shot in the movie of where, if like, where's point A to B? Like, say Arendelle's point A, Alice Palace's point B. They never give you that perspective of which way would it look if you're facing it from Arendelle. Like, we're never given that, and that's just a contextual issue. It would be really hard to peg down because we're never given it, unfortunately.
They're on an ice boat. which is cool.
On a
ice canoe.
Okay, so this plays into what I was saying earlier. In the ice canoe, number one, she's wearing the outer robe, and then she's got Olaf with her, which is why I think in the teaser, we're actually finding something different when she's in that cave. I mean, she could have just taken the clothes off, granted, but the fact that Olaf isn't with her at all and she's jumping over that ravine, I think that's a different part.
It's kind of a cool-looking maroon-colored cloak she's got on.
Yeah, I really like the color.
Like a darker purple to me.
Also, she looks surprised that she's going towards a waterfall, but wouldn't you hear it?
What was that? What was it?
This is Splash Mountain. This is the Splash Mountain.
not to digress too much here, but if anybody's ever been on Frozen Ever After Ride at Epcot in the Norway Pavilion, there I could see them retooling the ride because when it used to be, what was it? The original Norway. Maelstrom, that's what it used to be called. So when you go on Maelstrom, you're in those big canoe boats and you go down and there's a part where it kind of dead ends, shifts over and then moves back the other way. And when it was Maelstrom, it used to be kind of a simulated idea of a waterfall that you could go over, but you didn't. It would stop and you could look into the outside. There was like a cutout of the mountain you could see out during daylight, and then you back up. Now they filled it in when they converted it to Frozen Ever After, and it's the scene where you stop and you go back the other way past Marshmallow with all the little things surrounding him. I could see them remaking this ride in a year or two after this scene in this movie. And I would totally want. I'm kind of looking. I was like, how did you not wait to make the ride after this scene in the film? This would be awesome.
I hope they won't close it before November.
Frozen 2 attraction would be awesome.
They won't tear out Frozen ever after. They'll keep it. Disney does not like having to refinance and reinvest in something they already spent money on. They usually like, they'll probably would rebuild it elsewhere. Because we do know there is a Frozen themed area coming to Hong Kong Disney. There is one coming to Disneyland Paris. Nothing confirmed it's nothing in concrete right now for the U.S. It's kind of ideas that they like to mess with. I think they're waiting to see what they can do with it. This is something that was talked about years ago within the company, you know, even with the merchandise.
I'm really looking forward to the Frozen section, Disneyland Paris.
So we did talk about this. If anybody's been to Disneyland, you go to Fantasyland and you have that really cool mountain ride called the Matterhorn.
Yes.
I remember Nixon's Revenge and I and several others, and Nixon's Revenge brought up, and we were standing next to the Matterhorn. He goes, dude, how could anybody think that is not the North Mountain? Imagine they just cut out a little section on the side there, you put Elsa's Ice Palace on it, and then you retheme the entire ride to Frozen. And I'm like, they need to do that right now. Come on, Disney, get on it. Retheme the Matterhorn. I'll totally support it. I know it'll piss off so many diehard Disney fans because it's a staple from 1959 when it first opened. But just what the heck, do it. I think it'll be more awesome.
Your Space Mountain, but space, the Matterhorn.
I would really love that. I never thought of that before. That sounds great.
What would they replace the Yeti with? The
marshmallow.
Oh yes.
It'll be like, and then when you're going around it and you see him, he'll be like, go is like, don't come back. Just like
oh, that sounds awesome.
And, then you hear Anna going, we won't.
Oh, that's gonna be so amazing. It's like how they repurposed in California Adventure, they repurposed Tower of Terror with Guardians of the Galaxy or the Incredicoaster from, you know. Well, I mean, they already did that.
Was the Incredicoaster always the Incredicoaster?
No, it was California Screamin' before. It was just called California Screamin', then they repurposed it to the Incredicoaster. Okay, so what's going on with that? Everything's on fire.
It seems to be a sentient fire.
It's magenta fire. And so the way it's supernatural fire.
The way that thing was moving seemed living, not non-living. Seemed sentient.
Almost like it was marking its territory and threatening people who didn't belong in it.
I can see that.
Hey, humans, get out of my forest. It's my little area.
So it looks like they have Arendelle guards there. So you wouldn't think that they would take them with them when they went north, right? So you would think that this was actually close to Arendelle, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
They could come across another village.
Yeah.
That's true. They could be from another kingdom.
Could be from another kingdom. I think they were evacuating. I think that's like the main theme of this. Like, everyone seems evacuating somewhere. Like, they're not in their town. They're in some forest. They're running away from something.
Movie.
Death by Snoke.
I'm kind of just like making up stuff here, but I just for some reason had this thought in my head. Imagine if they do go to war and Elsa summons her massive army of Snowies. That
I just
imagine like trying to make yourself sneeze to make more of them.
Well, in the original plot development for the first film, one of the concepts was Elsa, the Snow Queen, would have an army of snow monsters.
Yeah, yeah, and then she would like march those down to Arendelle
and destroy it.
Yeah, could be another tribe of Sami people. Is it Sami or Sammy?
Sami,
I believe.
Sami.
All right, so
Sami sounds too American.
So it looks like Kristoff was grabbing Anna there, and then
Sami.
Yeah.
See in the background, some sort of distant. It looks like.
Okay, so what did Grandpappy said there?
He said we've always feared that Elsa's powers will be too much for this world, and then he says, "Oh my gosh, plot twist! Now we fear they may not be enough, Elsa, planet saver,
too powerful for this Earth." She's an extraterrestrial.
Hey, she does join the X-Men, remember?
Oh, yes, on that one video.
Yeah.
All right, so what does Grandpappy continue to say here? Now we must hope.
It was demonetized.
That they're enough.
They're enough. Oh, so, okay, let me pause here with the Stonehenge-looking things. So those symbols are the same symbols in those crystals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that are floating in the cube that Anna's looking at.
Oh, now, far right side. Hold on a second. I never noticed that before. Kristoff is standing on the far right side.
I've read, if you look at the teaser, the first poster for this movie, on the snowflake, you do see all four of those symbols reflected in the massive snowflake on the teaser poster.
So yeah. The thing about that, is it's actually got 4 points, and then who was it? The scientist guy.
Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Oh my god.
Yes, oh my god. Tyson tweeted at Disney saying, "Hey, snowflakes always have six sides," and they were like, "Yeah, it's like maybe it's not a snowflake." And
yeah, mic drop from Jennifer Lever.
You know, I actually like that they throw shade back at Neil deGrasse Tyson. I like him, but I kind of like that they're just pushing back. It's like, yeah, maybe it's not a snowflake.
Yeah, he's a smart genius. That was great. That was a great thing.
It's called Disney magic for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you analyzing?
I
like to analyze like real stuff like that. But in the end, it's like...
In that Frozen documentary, we know how little details they look at and how closely they try and mimic things. So they would know. Like, they brought in people who knew things about snow on the first film. It's like, I think they know that snowflakes have 6 points. They're doing this for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't try to analyze these movies. I just try to enjoy them.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's come out in interviews and said, not to digress too much on this, he does it more for fun, not really to be a troll, but he actually has said a lot of movies he's criticized, it's just kind of part of his personality.
Yeah, no hard feelings for Neil, you know. All right, so I don't know what happens here. This plays and then it closes.
I won't let
anything happen to her. Oh boy. Okay, so I think this last scene here, that's the mountain troll.
The marshmallow looking deception.
What if I told you guys Elsa actually did make an appearance in that little movie that came out years ago called The Troll Hunter?
No way. What is that?
I'm just
kidding. No. Oh come on.
Now it was like a Ouijin or something.
Like a Latin American girl.
Years before, about how the government actually goes and hunts real trolls that the public doesn't know about.
Oh, seems weird.
It was a Blair Witch-esque type movie where these students are like filming it. Anyways, big giant troll.
And Elsa's scared, hiding on a tree.
Well, yeah, there's a big giant troll, dude. I'd be scared too.
Yeah, I would be scared. That thing is huge. That thing encompassed the whole mountain.
It is a mountain. It just moves. Wouldn't that be cool?
Kind of like from The Hobbit.
Nope, now it's
The Hobbit when they had those mountain trolls.
There are different types of trolls in Scandinavian mythology.
Yeah, there are.
And I'm guessing that's probably why you don't see the normal, I wouldn't say normal, but the first Frozen trolls, they probably don't leave that random because a lot of magical creatures tend to be tied to the geography of where they originate from. You can see that in a lot of mythology. A lot of magical films, and that is tied. Like you have bridge trolls, they can only, they only hang out under the bridges. A lot of that is tied because they can't be out in daylight. A lot of folklore is just really tied to geography itself and a lot of societal fears and stuff. That's where we kind of, everything from Little Red Riding Hood, believe it or not, which was Walt Disney's first animated character ever made back in like 1922 or something. A lot of stuff we think about today really goes back to that folklore. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Disney really tries to follow that somewhat closely. Maybe not. Maybe we'll see the trolls, like Grandpappy and family and crew, actually just come out and leave Arendelle for all we know. But maybe they stay put, and then when they go to this other area, you see other different types of trolls. So again, more of that folklore, that universe expanded.
I love
the sort of more fantasy way they're going with this.
Yeah, movie. I really like that too. The lore is just interesting.
Which is, to me, somewhat of a big deal personally. I mean, not that I have a personal connection to it, but I love a lot of world building
and
fantasy fiction stuff. Now, to me, this is a very big deal because Disney has never really done this too much. There's only two other intellectual properties that Walt Disney Animation Studios has ever worked on that they did sequels for. First one was Rescuers Down Under, and then the second one was Wreck-It Ralph, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Nothing else. So this is their first movie where they're really keeping it within that universe, and they are trying to... And Jennifer Lee and even John Lasseter said they did not want to make a sequel unless the story was worth telling. And it was a meaningful story because that's how Frozen really originated. It was a big love of labor for a lot of people, and it got altered the way it did because of how personable and relatable all these characters, all these real life situations, like how Elsa's perceived. They didn't want to just make a sequel just so they can make more money off of it and people would like it and then that's it. Because to be honest, that's how you already see other movies. I think this is going to be a good movie because Jennifer Lee and crew wanted to do a good job on it.
Like, I was worried at first that, oh, it's a sequel, they're going to mess it up. But, I mean, most of the original people worked on the first one or working on the second one. I have faith with them.
Yeah.
And honestly, all the other films that Walt Disney Animation Studios has done, they are all good. None of them are really bad.
Well, that's the thing. We do not have a basis of comparison for bad sequels from Walt Disney Animation Studios, for the most part. I liked Ralph Breaks the Internet. I thought it was a good movie. I didn't think it was as good as the first one personally, just because I think, you know, a lot of origin stories are really good because of how much character development they really throw at you. It's hard to follow that up in a sequel with equally good character development that doesn't have an origin story. You know, it's pacing and plot points are really hard to keep up with. Same thing with Rescuers Down Under, although I think, you know, the animation was much better compared to the first one, you know, and it's kind of the same plot points all over again. Missing child, mice go, the rescuers go after him. They're still good movies. I do like them, but I'm kind of wondering, it's like, you sit there and say, that was good, but not as good as the first ones. I kind of wonder whether this will make Disney stand out more because how many sequels are really that good?
Right.
This is going to be the best movie in 2019. I hope.
Please beat Star Wars and Avengers.
To make a non-Disney comparison, I really loved the Sherlock Holmes movie, the one with, you know, Robert Downey
Jr. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I loved Game of Shadows even more because it's not really, I mean, they're not even origin story movies to begin with, but I felt that the second movie really stepped it up in terms of threat level, what was at stake, even personally for Sherlock, how his friends around him were in more jeopardy because of it. And I'm like, that's really not the easiest thing to do, but they were able to pull it off. So I'm kind of wondering where they can go with these concepts of storytelling in Frozen 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're a lot freer in Frozen 2 because they don't have to set up these characters. They already have them. They can do a lot more development with them than they did in the first one because they don't have to tell this origin story of them. I mean, they could go back and
the whole do sort of
how it got here, but I don't mean they don't have to set them up. They've got the characters.
Well, you can. The cool thing is you can throw as much extra backstory as you want because it's just like, hey, remember how you knew this in the first movie? Yeah, but you didn't know this because it was never talked about.
Yeah, so just a lot more free now to sort of tell stories and get character development and show why things are the way they are. I mean, they have total freedom now.
I wonder if this is going to mess with a lot of people's heads who are fans of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That did sort of had, you know, it's like, no, obviously it's not. Nothing in Once Upon a Time is canon to the rest of the Disney animated universe. Or the Disneyverse, I guess. There's no, like, actual universe, call it, in terms of canon and continuity. But, yeah, I kind of wonder if people are like, wait a minute, but didn't their aunt, you know, come and, like, do this and stuff? And you're like, no, that was...
I don't imagine little kids are watching Once Upon a Time anyways.
Oh, yeah, I don't think most of the target audience of Frozen 2 has seen probably any of Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
I think anybody who was fans of Frozen...
The whole reason I started watching it in the first place.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of people, the Frozen subreddit, talking about it quite a bit when they started showing, like, oh, hey, you know, Elsa's gonna, and Anna and crew are gonna be in Once Upon a Time for season 3 or whatever.
It was season 4.
Whichever season it was. Season 4.
The end of season 3.
They show the back of Elsa, like, she gets summoned, and they're like, wait, what's this all going about? Everybody was kind of on board with it, but...
Comes out of the jar.
Right.
I thought it was good, you know? It's like, you know, they
It was entertaining. It was cool. I like where they went with it.
But the lore is kind of completely different from, I would imagine, because the...
I felt like it kind of fit stuff to the main story, because it's like, you're watching Once Upon a Time because it talks about these characters, and then the Frozen characters show up, and all of a sudden these things happen.
Right, like spoiler alert for Once Upon a Time.
Emma Swan has her power.
I'm sorry.
At this point in the movie, it's already established that Emma Swan has powers, and it's like, as soon as Elsa shows up, they kind of talk about what they did in the Frozen movie. It's like, now she's having trouble controlling her powers, whereas she didn't before. So it's kind of like, Elsa, you showed up and started all of this.
Way to go, Elsa.
The
thing as usual.
Right, so... I mean, I think...
You did a pretty damn good job.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Olaf was nowhere to be found then.
All right, so...
not show up in the suit.
They couldn't afford that CG in the budget.
The CG. I like their CG Grand Pobby in Once Upon a Time. That looked pretty nice.
Yeah, they Grand Pobby. They couldn't put Olaf.
Oh, yeah, they couldn't put Olaf? Because they couldn't have Josh Gad voicing it.
They got anybody... it's not like they actually got anybody from the actual cast to play their characters.
I know, right? I mean, it's an ABC show, isn't it? So it's all Disney. So, any... conclusions you guys want to draw? What do you guys think of the two trailers?
I'm excited.
Oh, they suck. I hate Frozen.
Okay, all right.
I'm quite excited.
Still looking for the Tangled. This is not the Tangled podcast, Robert.
Wait, it's not?
Oh, oh no, it's not. Oh, God. Really? We're doing this? Come on, guys. All right. Well.
Final thoughts? Well, this was fun, honestly. Can we make this like a bi-monthly thing?
What? Yeah.
I almost thought you said bi-weekly. I'm like, whoa.
No, it's going to be monthly. Yeah. So that way we can have we can give chance for like other guests to show up because everyone has different schedules.
Perhaps you can do more when Frozen 2 comes out.
Who will this podcast be available for everyone?
You guys can figure that out, see if you want to do monthly or weekly or something.
I think monthly is better.
So that way we don't run out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, this was fun. I was a little finicky with handling the trailer stuff, but that is okay.
We went off topic just a little bit.
Sure.
Well, I'll just say this. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this jabber on about Frozen.
Yes, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the first episode of the Frozen podcast. Hopefully we'll have the full vlog. Alright, so without further ado, let's do outros, I guess. I'm the Happy Jammer. You can find me on Reddit and Discord. Go ahead. Firebird, you're next.
I'm Firebird. You can find me on the Discord.
All right. At Arendelle Kingdom Discord. All right.
I am Reswab Jr. You can find me at the happiest place on earth at the World of Disney store at Disneyland Resort.
Oh, yes. All right, Silra?
Yeah, you can find me in Europe.
All right.
Yeah, otherwise, right, please read it. World of Warcraft?
Some people. Oh, World of Warcraft. Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Wow.
Lol.
Yeah,
and I'm White Star. You can find me wherever. You can find me for a dead convention that happened this past weekend. But I'm here now for Frozen, and hopefully I'll be very excited until Frozen 2 comes out.
We're all excited, man. We can't wait.
On Discord and Xbox.
Hopefully D23, they show off a new trailer.
We should have a D23 podcast.
Ooh, like after D23, we do like a special.
Yeah, we should just do this whenever we have content to talk about.
Yeah, well, I think so. I just want to keep it monthly to like space things out. We'll figure it out at the VIP chat that no one can see.
Survive the first part.
All right, well, thank you guys for the how many viewers we have? We have 45 or something. Thank you guys.
We picked at 51.
Thank you for the 51 of you who have tuned in. Thank you guys so much. This has been a fun ride, and hopefully by next month or possibly even earlier than that, we'll do our next episode. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.